This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to iFanboy, episode number 70, brought to you by ComicHole.com, live from San Francisco. Fanboy 50 podcast, episode number 70. I'm Ron.
And
I'm
Eric.
Connor.
And we're in San Francisco at Isotope Comics, and we're here with the proprietor, James.
Hey, I'm James
Sun. Thanks for being with us, James, and thanks for letting us do the show here. We really appreciate it.
It's awesome. We're going to have such a great weekend.
Ooh. No, it's okay. No. for our listeners, we're recording this on Thursday, but you're going to be hearing it on Sunday, so hopefully we'll still be alive by Sunday.
So once again, it's a backwards thing.
It's a time travel podcast, but we're here for WonderCon. Which is the convention, the San Francisco convention.
By the time you hear this, we'll have had so much fun.
Exactly. Well, ridiculous. In addition to WonderCon, there's a lot of great stuff going on here at Isotope, actually. So,
well, with you guys.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So
yeah.
We wanted to do, Ron and I have been talking about doing something.
Having some fun, right?
Yeah, having some fun together. Yep. And so we thought we'd throw an entire weekend-long bash. And
that was a lot of fun.
Because it already happened.
Yeah. And that's what we either died during doing.
And you're reading about it right after the fact. Or
and we're laughing about it now. Or and, we'll have lived. And so it'll be glorious.
The first one was is going to be Friday night. Tomorrow night we're going on a tiki tour of the fabulous tiki bars of San Francisco with Adam Beechin.
Writer of Robin. And what else is he?
Teen Titans.
Teen Titans, that's right. All right, taking over Teen Titans, that's
and
right.
And also he's the guy who's doing DC's Countdown.
Right, yes.
One of the writers of Countdown.
Yep. Adam has sworn to us that he's not revealing any of the top secret details.
Nobody will. They're tight-lipped. They're very,
but I will tell you that the Tiki Tour is pretty rough, and there's a lot of alcohol involved.
Well, tell us, what is the Tiki Tour? What do we have in store for us tomorrow night?
So San Francisco has been blessed by the Tiki gods above with some of the most number of bars of the tiki variety anywhere in the continental United States.
Is there a reason for that, or just a coincidence? Just
good Lord, I have no idea, but it's incredible. So, you know, as any tiki-loving, red-blooded American would do, we have invented a tour where we attempt to hit every single bar within the city.
It's going to be evening. I'm excited. I'm a big fan of the Tiki Bar.
It'll be fun. There's 12, you said.
There's 12.
The most anyone's ever hit is how many?
7 is the maximum that any human being has ever completed. So no, the legends tell that if you can complete the Tiki Tour, you will be blessed by the gods with this magical ability called Never Hangover.
That's Connor's looking for that. That's what Connor wants.
I'm coming handy for the rest of the show.
Really, once you're on about a bar 5 or 6, you want that Never Hangover.
Right, yeah, you see it's in your grass, so you can see it.
And then Saturday night is the big party we're having. Right. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, we're having, we flew in, I don't know how to pronounce it.
J.M.D. Matias?
D. Matias?
Or D. Matias? Whatever, yeah.
Hopefully we'll find out.
Well, that's the first question. And he's the writer of such. He did the great Spider-Man runs in the 80s.
He co-writed Justice League with Keith Giffen. Yes.
And
Kraven's Last Hunt.
Absolutely. Yep. He was doing Vertigo Comics 10 years before.
Yep. Before it was Vertigo,
Moon Shadow and that Doctor Strange Shambhala book.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, it's going to be a good party.
Big eyebrows, too. So
you know, the bigger the eyebrows, the better the guy, right? Awesome. Well, hopefully it's going to be an awesome weekend. I'm sure it will be, and hopefully we'll survive it.
You said awesome.
Oh,
you're screwed.
Oh.
Just to fill in for anybody who's listening first, and for James, and for Patrick, the intern, who's also in the room, is that last week we got a letter from a fan saying that Ron overused the word awesome, and Ron made a pact that if he said awesome in the next 2 shows, he would then have to read Sandman, which he doesn't want to read.
Now, admittedly, this is an extraneous circumstance, and I'm going to throw my knees at the mercy of our listeners. Hopefully they'll understand this isn't the normal show. So we'll start it next week with the normal shows.
Wow, that's a loophole.
I'm tired. No, I'm jet lagged. It's not fair.
You said it not only once but twice within 2 sentences.
I know. Well, I like the word awesome. It's all right.
How about if you do it one more time during this podcast?
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
Sandman's on.
Yeah, I have to turn the cure on and start reading the Sandman and put on my black and put on my fishnets and put on my eyeliner.
Why we get letters. This is exactly why we get letters.
So, all right, cool. Yeah, so we're psyched to be here in San Francisco.
And iStop is a fantastic store. We love this store. We wish this store was in New York.
Yeah, we really do. We
like our stores. We like our stores, but we know.
It's a store with personality. Which honestly, Rocket Ship in Brooklyn is probably the only store that comes close as far as personality. But it doesn't have that fun factor, which I think is a San Francisco thing. I don't know if you could do this in New York.
I don't know if you could.
Because New Yorkers kind of like to stand there with their arms crossed and just look at you like you're annoying them. Well, San Francisco, everybody seems to be here. They want to have fun here.
Why people move here. Because they want to do some crazy thing or see some crazy thing or do some crazy thing.
Yeah, Lord
knows.
That's
what I'm here for.
The craziness, right? So, all right. Well, typically on the podcast, and our listeners are probably getting annoyed because we're veering off of our normal schedule or program.
Format.
But normally we talk about the week's books that came out, but we want to give James an opportunity because you haven't read this week's books yet because you're just so busy, right? But what have you been reading that's pretty good?
I have to say that Captain America does too have a MySpace page. He is one of my MySpace friends, so screw that. He's got a fucking MySpace page. Sorry about that.
No,
fuck it. Go for it, man. We don't
curse
shit
all the time.
So Captain America is on MySpace.
He's on MySpace. Wow, and he has more friends than Iron Man does.
So now we know who won the Civil War, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? That's awesome.
And the beautiful thing is that Cap kept Iron Man in his top 8.
Oh, let's say he's a better person.
He feels remorse about the whole thing.
Well, yep, he thinks line. Tony's going to come around.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know?
So why do you think he kept it in Civil War Frontline, he got asked if he knew what MySpace was or anything.
Civil War Frontline number 11 was not the pick of the week.
It was not.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Oh, my God, it was awful.
It was where the series went totally off the rails.
I think the train already went off the rails. This is where the train exploded.
Okay.
It crashed and exploded in number 11. This one, it made Cap look like a fool, like an idiot. It made him look like an out-of-touch...
old fogey.
Old
guy.
Fogey. And it also made Tony look even worse, which I didn't think was even possible.
Yeah. And this was supposed to be the big balancing factor of Civil War, you know? Like, it was going to, you know, like, it was going to provide both sides.
Yeah,
it made anybody who likes anything but heroin and YouTube and MySpace.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
The villain?
Yep.
You're not
now,
a real...
Paul Jenkins is also on MySpace, but he is not one of my MySpace.
Oh, he's not, yeah.
You can't like or defend America if you're not a proprietor of YouTube and don't watch NASCAR and don't watch The Simpsons. That's garbage.
Isn't there a NASCAR car that has Captain America on it?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, doesn't the A in NASCAR stand for America? Doesn't it?
But then there's also the fact they turned Tony into a war profiteer, which now you've taken him out of the... All right, before you thought he had like a moral gray area where he thought he was doing the right thing, but... may not have liked what he did, but now you're turning him to, well, he's doing this and he was profiting $90 million off of the war.
Yeah.
Which makes him despicable.
Yeah.
It turned him
into Halliburton.
It was just bad.
The thing that I've had a hard time with Civil War Frontline has been that I like Paul Jenkins as a writer.
Me too.
But
he's not my MySpace
friend. It shows that, yeah. But like do you remember the book he did during the decimation thing? It was the same kind of book as Frontline. It was telling the stories of the mutants who got affected by the House of M.
Oh yeah, that whole thing.
It was a great concept, and then it fell flat on its face by the end of the series. And the same thing happened again. I don't know. It's just a huge disappointment. I'm less worried about the Civil War delays than I was worried about this book and the fact that this book was such a failure.
So. Are you going to buy the Hulk, World War Hulk Frontline book, which is basically the same book with the same characters?
Really?
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Did they register frontlines.com, by the way? Does anyone check that yet?
They probably did.
Yeah, because they said in here they bought frontlines.com. That was going to be, you know. Do you like the fact that Ben Urich has now quit? He quit the View?
Well, what's funny is I was talking to Josh on Wednesday because Josh stopped buying this book because he hated it so much. And I gave this to him and said, you have to read this because it's so awful.
Yeah.
And he said, when did Ben Urich quit the Daily Bugle? I said, well, like, 2 issues ago. I said, this something that big cannot happen in a book like this.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to work at the Bugle. And he can't be as nebbish as he was in that. He was like Woody Allen in this. When he's stoic and Daredevil.
He's hard-boiled, and he's got the cigarette, and Daredevil looks like an old-school reporter.
It's not good.
But let's talk about Runaways.
Yeah, so Runaways number 24 was the pick of the week this week. And Brian K. Vaughan's last issue of Runaways. It's one of those things. Since we've been doing the podcast, we've never picked Runaways, and it's always one of those.
We have a couple.
Since we've been doing the site, we have a couple times. But it's one of those books that has always just been stand up awesome. For me, up until the last 2 years, though, I felt as if it kind of wavered a little. But for some reason, when I was reading this issue of Runaways number 24, I'm like, I've got to pick it. And I didn't even know it was his last issue. I mean, I talked to you afterwards. I was like, is this his last issue? He's like, yeah. I was like, damn. And the reason why I wanted to know is because I wanted the next issue.
Right.
And we finally got resolution to this big whole plot line, which I'm not going to get into the details of. And I don't actually have the book in front of me, so I don't even know.
Well, it's good because I'm only reading in trade paperback, so I don't.
So you don't even know what happened.
Yeah,
and James didn't even read it. So, but not yet. Not yet. So I don't want to ruin it for anybody.
By the time they hear the title.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe. But
my head.
But I got the idea of what Vaughn was doing this whole past year with Runaways. And
does it all make sense at the end?
Well, yeah, because I felt that the first series, that first volume, it was such a great concept. It was like, okay, these kids, they're the kids of supervillains, and they find out and they want to be good, and they run away and they form their own team, they're going to be good. And it was a great concept. But then he ended it. Like, he came to the resolution at the end of that first series. And so the second series, I always felt this was a little wavering, but I finally understood that this volume was about them growing up and them getting older. Like, they're turning 18, they're getting, you know, they're getting more mature, they're dealing with their powers and that all sort of thing, and the choices that come with it. And this issue, I thought, really solidified that kind of idea of growth, because you saw every character grow in a unique way.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I thought it was
Are you going to continue to buy when Joss Whedon starts writing?
Well, yeah, it's Joss Whedon. I mean...
Well, I'm not going to assume for you.
Right, yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that Whedon's following up Vaughn, and, like, actually Whedon has a tough act to follow.
That's right. Good.
Yeah. So, I mean...
Excellent.
And Vaughn is stepping in and writing an arc of the Buffy comic.
Right, yeah, because now they're, like, BFF now.
Right.
So, L.A. and all
and
that
the
stuff.
The thing that comes in between, that recap issue that no one ever reads, is actually one of my customers, one of my regulars. And this is one of those beautiful, like, wipe a tear from your eye stories that somebody should make some crappy TV movie out of. Yeah. But Mindy... Mindy Owens, the biggest Runaways fan on the planet. She made up a little Runaways website and all over the internet promoting Runaways from the beginning. Like, huge, massive, massive fan. And never wrote a comic before in her life. Never really thought about writing a comic before in her life. They solicit for this one-shot issue that's going to recap and catch everybody up. And C.B. Cebulski, who's the writer on it, asks Mindy to co-write it with him. So not only is she going from the biggest fan in the world to, like, writing her favorite comic ever made, but she's going to get that check with Spider-Man on it.
Awesome, frame that. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
A beautiful story.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
She out of her mind with, like, just excitement.
She's trying to be cool about it, but she's totally
Oh, that's so cool.
That's
is a tear to your eye. That's a Mike Romo wiped a tear from your eye. It's my contacts. It's okay. It's a valid excuse.
It's like Marky Marky needs to play her in the movie, right?
So, Doctor Strange.
Let's
another
stay on Brian K. Vaughan. This is also
the last issue. Does Vaughn have anything left at Marvel anymore? Does he now that he's done with Strange and
we should know because he just told us.
Right, yeah, no, I don't
remember. I don't remember anything from last weekend.
Anyway, I'm sorry. That was
go to the video show, that question's answered. But this is also the end of a Brian K. Vaughan series, Doctor Strange Oath number 5. And this was a really enjoyable miniseries. And I don't read much Doctor Strange. You've got a Doctor Strange costume in
your store.
You're
a big Doctor Strange fan, right? Have you been happy with it?
Yes, I have this facial hair because of Doctor Strange. I'm a big nerd.
So
did you like this miniseries?
Yeah, I loved it. Now, I haven't finished it.
Right. Well, we won't tell you what happened. How have you felt about his characterization, the way he's been written? Because
they've been writing him kind of funny recently.
Kind of British a little?
So it was a kind of a change from the way Garth Ennis wrote him as this huge asshole,
right,
or the way that Peter Milligan wrote him as the guy who couldn't use the toilet and couldn't get laid. But I thought he was sort of a dashing character.
He's also sort of, I don't know if you guys watched the show House. He's sort of House-ish
in this,
kind of arrogant and abrasive, but still lovable and sex symbol.
Well, and Josh had a big problem with him saying, like, ghastly when he held the gun and stuff like that. And that you can't say ghastly with an American accent, you know. And that, and I never thought about Dr. Strange, but Dr. Strange has always been aristocratic, I always thought.
He's traveled overseas.
He's been to Europe a couple of times.
This made me really, I mean, I've not read a lot of Dr. Strange historically. People seem, a lot of creators seem to love Dr. Strange whenever they're asked who they want to write.
You can tell that Brian K. Vaughan loves Dr. Strange.
Right. I wish this was an ongoing series.
Right, yeah, totally.
This is a lot of
fun. That's the big challenge. We always said that the creators always say they want to do Dr. Strange series, and nobody's been able to do it since the 70s. But now I think Vaughan did it, and unfortunately it was only for 5 issues.
But this was very good.
One could hope that they'll come back and do more. Flash, Fastest Man Alive, number 9. First,
people are really excited about it.
First issue, Mark Guggenheim writing. The DeMeo, Beasley,
Bilson
era is over.
Ron loves the Flash. I love the Flash.
Flash is my DC guy.
He's got a big print of the Flash in his living room at home.
Love it.
I bought the first 2 issues the intern is in here. He'll know this because he and I started buying comics at the same time, junior high school together. It's from the same store, Westside Comics on 86th Street. And with Flash number 50, which was in like 1992, I haven't bought a Flash issue up until the last 3 months or so when I had dropped this book. And it was very painful to do, and it was very traumatic to do because I love the Flash.
Right. So did you buy this one?
That was so bad. But this was great.
Yeah?
Oh, good.
This was great.
Well, here's the thing. It was really good. It wasn't great.
No, the writing was great.
If this is how the writing's going to be, like, Guggenheim gets it.
He gets the idea of a young Flash trying to come into his own.
He gets the narration. Bart has his own personality. He's got you need that feeling of the history of the Flashes and the characters, stuff like that. My only problem is the art. Not so much.
But the thing, I let it go because Tony Daniel's coming on in a few months.
Tony Daniel, really?
He's coming on as a new regular artist, so I'm letting it go. But
this guy felt to me like a Todd Knock ripoff.
It was just a lot of fun.
Which is like, think about that statement.
It's kind of what he looks like.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's definitely Todd Knock. Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. Guggenheim nailed it. I'm sorry.
He gets flashed. I was really looking forward to this because I loved his Wolverine run.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the few good things to come out of Civil War, I thought. And this was great.
It was really good. I loved it.
And now I think, for me, Guggenheim might be one of those writers where I'll check out his next thing just based off the name because.
Oh really? Not that much.
I've only read Wolverine.
Certainly, I gave him when I did my orders. He got really good orders because it's Wolverine.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Wolverine was like, great. It came out of nowhere. Like, what else has he done?
Retail
though?
Dollars on that one. Yes.
we had that reaction on the website. People loved Wolverine, and people never read Flash were going to buy this issue because they loved Wolverine. Yeah. This made me so happy this week.
Right.
Yeah. Another resurgent book I think is Green Lantern number 17.
Have you been reading Green Lantern, James?
Yeah, I've been reading.
Do you like it?
I'm
or
an old school Green Lantern fan.
I'm an old Hal guy.
I saw your avatar on the Comic Geek Speak forum. Yeah, that was pretty good. What have you thought of Geoff Johns' run so far?
I thought that Green Lantern Rebirth was one of the most glorious things.
It was awesome.
Man, it was like every issue was a
just another
brilliant
one.
Piece of art. And then the following series
was
been,
ho-hum.
It's been all right. Yeah.
This storyline, this is the second issue of the storyline, has been great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll agree with James. The beginning... The miniseries was great. The series itself was very ho hum. Remember, there was a long delay. There was a couple issues where we didn't know what the hell was going on.
The guy with the big head.
Yeah,
this is great. Out. This is Abin Sur's son coming back to reclaim the ring.
Great plot. I mean, great. I mean, and they've done this before. We've seen Abin Sur's son. Where Kyle Rayner fought him, but it's a different spin on him. And this is the issue where we get introduced, and I don't, you haven't read it yet, but you know, you tell, the Sinestro, no. The Sinestro Corps gets established as the core. Gets a corpse? Or
core. Core. It's like the Marine Corps.
The Sinestro Corps gets established in this issue, and it's just, and well, I don't want to, I'm not going to ruin it.
They've
but
been
there's,
building up to that, because that's cool.
And there's something, that's a great idea, and the way they introduce it was awesome. Was
in
so,
the very beginning?
There's one panel, there's one page that you're going to love that was just like, just the first person the yellow ring goes after. It's awesome. Yeah, so
I tried to
find
son of a.
High five.
Show me.
Josh has got all the trades. He'll be more than happy to lend them to you.
But it was back to Green Lantern. It was good.
This storyline is great, and I know Josh bought this one and the last one, and I think he really liked them too.
Which is good. He's catching up. No more Sharkmen.
Yeah,
the Sharkmen was bad.
Little.
Yeah, there you go, Patrick. Patrick wants to read it now. There you go.
And X Factor number 16, which is still remains the sleeper X book of.
I defy Peter David and the creative team to do a bad issue of X Factor.
Impossible.
It's impossible. There hasn't been a single issue that has.
They did all those crossovers.
Yeah.
And made it look like
they handled it perfectly. It was amazing.
He's an old pro.
And he's going to be great when he's editor in chief at Marvel.
You think that's what's going to happen?
No, but.
Well, Augie's nominating Dan Slott to be editor in chief.
Yeah, he'd be good too.
Yeah, Dan Slott would be good.
What I loved about this issue was, and I'm going to have to ruin it for James. I'm sorry, but
go for it.
This was a great moral quandary issue.
Yeah.
Jamie's going around the world getting his dupes back. You know, he wants to reclaim his soul. His soul's scattered all over the world. He's getting his dupes back. He comes and finds a dupe who's got a happy family life. He's got a wife and a kid, and he doesn't want to be brought back into Jamie Prime. And it's like, what is Jamie going to do? Is he going to ruin this family's life? Because now he's not just taking the dupe back, but he's going to take a father away from a kid and take a husband away from a wife. And it was awesome.
It was great. You said it.
I'm allowed to say it. I didn't get the letter you did.
You read Sandman.
I've not read Sandman.
The truth comes out.
I'm going to have to loan you guys some Sandman.
No, please. I fell off a truck onto my computer, maybe.
Ron and I both were of the age where, when we were in our formative years, Sandman readers were a little annoying.
Sandman keeps coming back. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last time I was hanging out here. It was the Sandman of the mid-90s meant something, and that meant goth. And it meant
black,
you know,
fingernail polish.
Yeah, and Sisters of Mercy.
But it's not that I don't want to read it. It's not that I don't want to read it. But Ron, what did you think of X Factor?
I loved it. I thought it was actually X Factor was a close second to the pick of the week because I really liked the theme of the book, which was which I forget the big word that it was. I don't want to say it was redemption.
It was Dominion.
Dominion. Yeah, that's what it was. Dominion was the idea of having a weight off your shoulders at the end, that's what happened at the end of the, basically that's what happened at the end of the book. The Jamie that was out in the wild has a weight lifted, and it's kind of, you know, he can breathe again. And I thought that was really, really good, and I love it when the writer is able to get that tone across in the story, because these are comics, they're pictures, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, and when you can get that kind of emotion across in a comic, I'm there. I'm totally.
This one grabbed me, because when the kid shows up, and you realize the full magnitude of what's happening, I was like, you know, I got it in the chest. Yeah. Like, you know, what's going to happen? Yeah. You're going to totally ruin this family.
And all the while keeping a subtle plot line going with the Monet Teresa stuff in Paris with the mutant stuff. Like, I mean, that's you keep you got so you've got the ongoing thing. You got what Jamie's going on. I am a little curious what's happening back in New York with Guido and all the rest of the team. But I'm sure
I could do without Guido.
I love Guido. Guido's great. Strong guy's the. Great character.
He's got the worst character design there's ever been.
Oh, you're just
with the big
jealous. I love the little glasses, the little curl. Yeah. I love Guido when he was Lila Cheney's bodyguard in the X-Men in the 80s. Lila Cheney, the intergalactic teleporter / pop star. Remember those X-Men books? You never read that stuff. It was genius. It was great. And Dazzler played keyboards in her band. So anyway, one thing about X-Factor that I actually love is now that they've got the established creative team, no more art shuffling. Right. And Pablo Raimondi's pencils are just beautiful.
I was really worried when Ryan Suk left.
Yeah.
How is it going to be as good?
And we're so amazed because they kept jumping artists. And
but didn't, it didn't really affect the quality of the book.
Yeah, which never happens. Yeah, that never happens. Really high
on that one. But didn't we talk to them and they said they're going to have fill-in artists for him?
Well, yeah, Pablo said that he can't do a monthly book, which don't get me started. So they'll have a fill-in once in a while. Yeah, who can't? Yeah, exactly. Steve McNiven can't. So they'll have a fill-in once in a while, but they've got that established team and they're working on it. And if he does 10 issues out of a year and there's two fill-ins in the year, I'll deal with that. That's fine. You know, that's
great. How did you feel about the cover? I know Ron's pet peeves is the cover not affecting the content.
Yeah, I tried to look past that. I hate it when the cover doesn't reflect what happens in the book.
Okay. Or when that's why you're not a Sandman fan.
Why. In fact, finally, someone's able to...
thematically, it works.
Thematically, it fit. That's why I kind of passed it, you know, but... I mean, I just can't stay. Well, same thing with the Flash. I mean, the Flash is just a splash page of Bart through the time.
That's,
you know,
not like something completely different.
Right? Yeah, I know. Like all the civil, like that Civil War cover with the Punisher, Captain America, and Spider-Man fighting, and it's like, and that never. Yeah. And then the three of them were never together.
You wanted to see that fight,
right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Or Civil War #5 when all Spidey's villains are beating him up, and that never happened either. That's just.
There's also that the famous one I always come back to is that Hulk cover where they're Captain America, the Hulk, and. Maybe even Iron Man, which would be ironic. We're watching TV on a couch for no reason, and then there's
That was so weird.
That was
a Spider-Man cover. Yeah, no, there was a Spider-Man cover that Garney drew.
A Hulk one. There's a
Spider-Man one with Spider-Man, Iron Man, and Captain America watching TV, and I was like, what? Daredevil this week was Brubaker's. If you saw our interview with Brubaker a couple weeks ago on the video show, he talked about his desire to write a romance comic.
And nobody will let him write a romance comic.
And now we found out why. Not so good. Not that it wasn't bad. It was good. I mean, the best thing about it, though, was the cover. Was the John Romita cover. The cover dress was the old Marvel cover dress. It was perfect. It was great.
It did.
It was just heavy in narration. It was that Mila chick talking.
It was a little heavy.
Yeah, it was, and didn't, you know, I don't know. It was all right. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't a strikeout.
For anybody else, it would have been good.
Right.
But for Brubaker,
a little low. Yeah. The problem with Brubaker is his standards are so high.
Yeah.
Right. It's tough.
You really expect a lot out of that guy.
Yeah, you do, so.
And you should,
Because he's got a high level, exactly. But I'm sure he'll be back next month. It'll be a good one. So
did you notice the art? I mean, what did you think of the art? I mean, it was.
I didn't even notice it.
It was Lee Weeks. Who's the?
I saw Lee Weeks' name, and it didn't look like Lee Weeks.
It was Lee Weeks done in a Michael Lark style.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting. Why not just get Michael Lark?
I don't know.
Why not just let Lee Weeks do what he does? Like,
it was good though.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. What did Lee Weeks
do? Weeks
why
is
do
a
I
classic,
know that
he's a classic Daredevil artist.
Yeah.
He did Daredevil in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. I never recognized
it. It was really good.
Did he do
it was real good.
Oh, he didn't do the armor run? That wasn't that?
No.
That
he ended right before. Scott McDaniel did the armor run. Yeah.
Oh, man. That was miserable. You remember that?
You know, he had the claws with spikes in his hand.
Oh, it was so bad. All right, so did anything else come out this week that was notable that you enjoyed? I had a fuck of a week.
Last week, I got to jump in here. Here's why I haven't read this week's books.
Yeah.
Because last week, Fantagraphics put out these beautiful, fantastic Love and Rockets books.
Oh, really?
And if you've never read Love and Rockets, I got to tell you, it's a really great book. And this is the first time in forever that they've put the books in a format that more than just... the Fantagraphics readers will like because it used to be a magazine.
Right, it was oversized.
They were all these oversized trades. Yeah. And then they came out with these like $50 hardcovers, which were great, but they're heavy as hell and that's not so much fun to read.
Right.
Now they've got $15. It's the most bang for your buck out of any comics on the shelf right now.
Oh, wow.
And they're fucking awesome.
I might have to pick that up because I saw Love and Rockets like in the 90s when I was on my indie hunt, like when I just discovered indie, and I was just like, oh, I want to check this out. And then when they came back, when they went back to the title, started doing it in the early 2000s, I picked it up. But then I dropped because it just got weird and I didn't know what was going on. But I've always wanted to go back and get everything. It's kind of like Cerebus, kind of thing where I want that in my library.
Right. Although much more than Cerebus.
Yeah.
Because if you've read Cerebus, it goes off the rails.
A little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. It does.
But yeah, those Love and Rockets, you have to pick them up. They're cheap as hell. They're really thick. The paper's good. The cover design on them is great. It's like the best thing in the store.
Are these the original stories?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
honestly, it's the best thing in my store right now.
The Hernandez brothers are like such, I think, important creators.
Yeah, they're indie icons.
But right now they get completely underscored or underrated. You know what I mean? Like right now, like $5 is a lot of the people listening to the show or that come to ifanboy.com don't really know why they're. It's like one of the things. Like, why are the Hernandez brothers important?
I think that if you're a comic fan and you're reading stuff like Why the Last Man and Fables. Yep. And if you like Next Wave, like any of those kind of things, you gotta read those Love and Rockets books because they're funny, they're fun, they have great characters, and
great stories. Some stories get a little wacky, some stories get a little emotional. It's Love and Rockets. It's
like Mad Men, where it's not quite like anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's such a must read. That's a great pick.
And they're cheap. You gotta get them.
That's genius. Oh, that's good. I definitely gotta pick that up now. That's awesome. Yeah, no,
I like those so much because the two books came out last week, and I was so excited about those that on Tuesday I got caught up on all my Justices. I was like, you know, Love and Rockets was so great. I think I'll read Justice.
Did it pay off? Or?
Yeah, it was good. Justice,
I dropped that after two or three issues, Justice. I just couldn't do it.
The problem with Justice is it comes
up. It was good altogether. I didn't like it reading it slow.
Yeah.
But reading it fast and in a big fat chunk was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's I suspect that's true.
Yeah. I don't know.
It came out so infrequently, it's hard to keep a thread of storyline going.
Yeah. Well, it's tough.
That's why I stopped reading it. I only read the first couple issues, and I was like, oh, I'll get to that later.
Right.
And then Love and Rockets made me go, maybe I'll go find those issues.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. Well, I don't want to pick those up. I have all scattered Love and Rockets stuff. I was just talking about Love and Rockets to a friend of mine, because she's a big fan of them, I'm glad that you brought that up. That's so cool. But this week I bought like 16 books. And so doing the pick of the week this week was just a pain in the ass because I just
we're also getting ready to come here and
And not to mention that my stack of like non weekly books, you know, much thanks to the last time I came out here to Isotope, is like it's literally like 2 feet high.
Yeah,
it's
is.
Like
she it's showed like it to huge, me on his dresser.
It's like a ridiculous stack. It's awful. Sorry. So it's not your fault.
What was the coolest thing I sent you home with?
The coolest thing probably was the Billy the Kid book, which was the exact title of that?
Billy the Kid's
Old-Timey Tales or something?
Western Oddities
or something like that. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like halfway through that right now because I was reading the Motley Crue book because I wanted to get that back to you.
Yeah.
But the Billy the Kid one, it's basically Billy the Kid after he didn't die. Pat Garrett didn't kill him.
Well, that's not a big controversy.
Right, yeah. And he gets away, and so he gets recruited to go to Europe and to fight Frankenstein, right? Or is it Dracula? I'm not up to the point where they're gathering a team. Yeah, we'll find out. So it's hysterical. It's great. Eric Powell's, honestly.
Eric Powell who does The Goon.
Yeah, so which I've never read The Goon, so it's my introduction to him.
It's one of his, like, lost treasures. That there's a lot of Goon. But you haven't read The Goon?
I haven't read The Goon. I know.
Good
I
Lord.
Haven't. That's what I hear. I know. I've heard.
All right. Well, you're not leaving this weekend.
I have no more money. It's not good.
Is it similar to that book you got me for Christmas?
The Goon is like if Will Eisner tried to make Hellboy.
Interesting.
Think about that.
Whoa. You just blew my mind.
What was that Western book that was really wacky that you got?
The Iron West.
Iron West.
By Doug Tenapel.
Is it similar to that?
No. This is... not at all. Yeah, not at all. Because that one's more wacky robot cartoony kind of stuff, and this is more...
A little more serious.
Yeah, a little more serious. Yeah, yeah.
It sounds goofy, but it's a little bit
more serious. It does get serious, yeah. So
interesting.
What I did read last time I was on Isotope, I spent $150 on books, and I bought...
Yeah, you left a lot of stuff.
But I bought... I finally got to catch up on Jamie S. Rich's Love the Way You Love, or I forget that exact title.
That's
of it. Yeah, Love the Way You Love. Yeah, and I mean, it's great. I mean, because it's like Scott Pilgrim without the wacky.
Yeah.
It's, you know, romance. It's about a guy who's in a band and he sees a girl.
That's what you've been looking for.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah.
He's been dying for a good romance.
I love the teen romance, the teen heartache. I saw at the New York Con this past weekend, I picked up the first volume of Amelia Rules by Jimmy Gowan.
Yeah, really good.
Because my niece's name is Amelia, and so I got him to sign it for her. But he did a title called Shades of Grey back in the 90s that was like total melodrama, soap opera, Dawson's Creek teen romance, teen love, and I loved it. And I thought he was like, not that he's old, but I thought he was like our age or whatever. So I go to his table, and he's like, you know, he's an old dude. And I was like, oh, I love Shades of Grey. And he's like, oh, thanks so much. It was very cool. But Love the Way You Love is very much in that kin where it's, you know, guy's in a band, meets a girl, she's engaged to a guy who's running a label, wants to sign the band, so you got a love triangle going on. Lots of Britpop references.
You sure this
references.
Wasn't the Motley Crue book?
No, it wasn't the Motley Crue. Lots of Britprop references, which I love.
Right, you're a fan of Phonogram.
Yeah, 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 I love Phonogram. Yeah, exactly. And so it totally hit for me on all things. The only thing is the art is a little too big-eyed, kind of, you know,
well,
cartoony.
Like Scott Pilgrim a little bit.
Well, but Scott Pilgrim's not as manga as Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, you know, or manga or whatever.
You know what
manga.
You need? You need what? Those 11 Rockets books.
I know, I do. You're always selling.
You must be looking forward then to Alex Robinson's next work, which he told us is his high school book.
Nah, I don't know about that, because his thing is more about, you know, death to jocks. He said it was like kind of like the high school class struggle type thing. I'll read it. I think Alex Robinson, I know Josh who couldn't be here. He's back in New York celebrating his birthday, so everybody wish Josh a happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Josh. It was a couple of days ago, but still. Josh is a big fan of Alex Robinson. My criticism of Alex Robinson is I don't really like the cartoony nature of the art. Like, I don't think the art was as good. I thought the writing was stellar. You know, but like, you know, and what it was that Josh handed me Box Office Poison saying, oh, if you like Strangers in Paradise, you'll love this. And I was like, this isn't anything like Strangers. Like, the art in Strangers is good, you know, but
it's a different
style. Right. So that's all. And Love the Way You Love is a little more like the Alex Robinson kind of cartoony style, not the manga Scott Pilgrim kind of style. But the best book that I picked up recently in trade that I've been reading was Project X Challengers 7-Eleven.
Oh, you like that one as well?
Which was this, yeah, which is now the second one I got, which is for those of our listeners who remember that.
We loved. Yes,
thank you to the iFanboy readers who have either come into my store or gone to other stores and picked up Project X Cup Noodle.
Yeah, well, Amazon thanked us because we sold a lot through that.
Yeah, you guys rock.
Yeah, it was, Cup Noodle right now was probably the book of 2006, the trade paperback of 2006.
I'm one of the Eisner judges this year, and I am going to go down there and I'm going to fight
just
with
put
the
it
so if you see them get nominated, that's all us fighting for.
Yeah, so 7-Eleven, did you get a chance to read 7-Eleven?
I have 7-Eleven. I've got the car one.
We found the Dawson one. Yeah, the Dawson one, the one about
it's
Dawson.
It's still on Amazon.
Yeah, that's where we got it from. Yeah. So I haven't read the Dawson one yet, but the 7-Eleven one was great. What's great about these books is that it's fairly formulaic. There's a challenge, hence the name Project X Challengers. And then a team's got to come together to do it. And what does a team member always seem to say?
We can do this.
Yes, I will do this. Yes. I will complete this task.
And they pump their fists.
Yeah, and then lightning strikes. 7-Eleven wasn't as good as Cup Noodle, but it was still good. It was fun.
Forward to it.
I think it's really hard for anything to be as just good crazy amount of fun as Cup Noodle.
Yeah.
But both those other books are great.
Yeah.
I gave my 17-year-old sister Cup Noodle. She loved it. She doesn't read. She never reads comics, but she loved it.
I can't believe how good it was. I mean, I don't like manga. I don't like, you know, here I'm reading backwards, and it's doing the whole thing. It was doing the whole thing.
Did it make your brain hurt?
It takes a little getting used to at first. Yeah.
The pages, not so much the panels. Because it's hard. You know, it's hard to, you know, you want to naturally do it, and it doesn't. I don't know. But in 7-Eleven, there's a great subtext about the first store. Did you read 7-Eleven, James?
Yes.
The guy who owns the first store was like, it was a family liquor store, and he turned into a 7-Eleven, and they used him as like a guinea pig to test all the different like stock theories and stuff like that. And it was just like you felt bad because he put like triple mortgage his house and like just like all. And like I love how everybody in Japan.
It gave you so much love for 7-Eleven. Yeah, it totally did. When I'm in Japan, I'm shopping at 7-Eleven. I'm gonna get some cup noodles and I'm gonna drive that Dotson.
Exactly. I feel for these people.
Well, the one thing we all did when we read Cup Noodle was we all immediately went out and ate Cup Noodle.
I've been eating Cup Noodle nonstop.
So have you gone to the Japanese food store and gotten the Japanese cup noodle because it's different.
Oh, really?
It's different. And then if you go to the Hong Kong food stores, they have a different kind of cup noodle.
Interesting.
And Korean cup noodle is also different.
Well, I thought it was interesting when I went to my own supermarket. They didn't actually have Nissin cup noodle. They had Maruchan.
Oh,
yeah, that's not the same.
It's tough. I know, but they have
My bodega across the street has
Nissin
cup noodle.
But Maruchan has like creamy Alfredo flavor and like jalapeno. Like they've gotten very far. The freeze drying has gotten so far advanced. It's amazing.
Your listeners are probably so sick of hearing.
I know,
but they're talking about it.
I'm telling you, the cup noodle is the one book I will hand to anybody. Any comic reader, if you read any sort of comics.
Anybody.
Exactly.
Old ladies love it.
Yeah.
I was explaining to a woman at work, and she was she was very intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you don't understand. And they had to find the cup, and then they had to find the shrimp.
And the noodle, and they had to cook it right. Oh,
and then it was raw in the middle, and it was good outside.
I can't wait for Dotson, though. Dotson looks like a good one. Because I was like, Dotson? I forgot Dotson existed. I was like, oh, it's great.
That one doesn't take place in Japan. It takes place in America.
Oh, interesting.
That's how they broke the first Japanese car into America.
Oh, but there's still Japanese guys motivated to, I will do this.
Have to do this because those Americans think our cars suck.
Right, yeah.
And we have to change America's perception of our cars.
Well, I liked in 7-Eleven when they went to Texas for the training, when they were all excited to go to the 7-Eleven training, and they're like, it's like a bunch of Japanese guys in the Midwest. Oh, it's great.
They're great folks.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Oh, so good. So what else should people read? What's been selling in the store?
I'm trying to think of what other completely wacky books,
off the rails type thing.
That are totally weird that you guys need to be reading. Give me a minute.
Well, in the meantime, we've been really busy, and so if you guys have noticed, we just came back from the New York Con. And where we're exhausted, and I'm still healing.
Yeah, we're still a little tired. We've gone from New York basically to San Francisco.
Yeah, which is crazy. But so if you go to ifanboy.com and click on the video podcast, or go to revision3.com/ifanboy, you can see the New York Con video, which is 40 minutes of convention goodness.
It's a special extra long episode.
Yeah, exactly. And which we had a blast doing, and it was a good fun weekend. Wasn't it?
And hopefully you get the same. So not the same because that would be boring, but similar sort of style treatment for San Francisco.
Now, the thing about San Francisco is that it's not going to come out this Wednesday. So it's going to come out the following Wednesday. So in a week and a half, look for it on ifanboy.com because we need time to fly back to San Francisco and actually edit it and do the whole thing. Luckily, New York, we live in New York, so we're able to turn the video around that quickly and do it.
Right.
This
is also our first ever WonderCon, so we don't know what to expect. We're really excited about it. We're interested.
We're super excited. It's done by the same people who do San Diego, so everything we've heard is that it's got a very same feel as San Diego, but it's supposed to be a lot more chill, a lot more kind of relaxed type thing. So we're psyched. So
definitely
should be a good time. So you're also going to notice that unfortunately this is going to be a bit of a shorter show. We don't have any of the emails or the voicemails with us because we're on the road. We got the mobile podcast studio going on.
Yeah, we're in an office.
Yeah, so, but we did have time for this one voicemail that we got that we're kind of curious about.
Hey, guys, it's Josh. I haven't heard from either of you in a little while. No one's returning my calls or emails. So I read something about WonderCon, and, what's that about? Maybe you should let me know. You were spending an awful lot of time with Augie at the New York Con. Just call me or something. Is there anything? What's up? All right. Bye.
Yeah. So we forgot to call Josh. Actually, to be truthfully honest, sorry.
I
thought you told him.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's too bad. Wasn't Gordon supposed to tell him?
So
Josh, we miss you. So anyway, but James is back and he's got a book for us.
All right, so this is another book that came out last week.
Yeah.
I know your listeners, there's probably a lot of Walking Dead fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge. Totally. Yeah, big Carpenter fans. Yeah.
And there's probably some of those fans are also reading Invincible, and they should be, because that's a fantastic book.
Right.
But there's also The Brit, which is another great Robert Kirkman book. Now, if you want to see Robert Kirkman working with Tony Moore, who drew the first book of Walking Dead, right, and you want to see him working with a guy named Greg Rathborn, I think it is, Cliff Rathborn.
That's a great name.
Right? And you want to see violent, crazy, over-the-top, outrageous book that those guys did, this is the book for you guys.
What is it, like a war book?
What's the premise of this book?
It's the most violent. So you can't tell the premise without
repeating.
It's violent, military, superheroic insanity. And it's It's gorgeous. It's so much fun. It's a little bit like Godland in that it's got the dial turned beyond 10.
Right. Yeah. So it's almost over the top, but not.
It's completely over the top.
Okay.
Don't even let's say violent again.
Just for good measure. Yeah,
so if you like Robert Kirkman stuff, these are some like books that he did quite a while ago. Most of them came out before Walking Dead started, so a lot of folks don't know that they exist.
Cool.
And it just came out last week from Image Comics.
Yeah.
And they're rocking.
So we're looking at the trade that came out.
The trade just came out.
Did this come out in issue form?
It came out in like prestige Dark Knight format.
Is it in the same universe as Invincible or?
No.
Okay, because that guy kind of looked like the guy.
It feels like a very prototypical hyper violent.
Nice.
Hyper violent.
It's got big robots.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's monsters, there's robots, there's lots of killing.
I've got a list of things that's pretty good. Now.
My stack, I'm telling you, this is ridiculous. My stack is awful. I just can't take it. We're going to have so much stuff to talk about other than the weekly books over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be miserable. It's like it's work now. It's like I've got to read all this stuff.
No.
Well, I bought Black Hole finally.
Oh, what
which
did you think?
Well, I haven't started it yet. I haven't even cracked it. Yeah, no.
The creepiest book ever made.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. I've been meaning to get that. So,
emo.
Yeah, which is good. You know, I like the emo. So, awesome. Well, thank you, James, so much for this recommendation, and thanks for coming onto the show. We appreciate it. It's great to have you. And thank you for letting us crash here, and for co-sponsoring the parties and all stuff like that.
Oh my
letting
God.
Us be, you know, be part
and
of.
And those were great parties.
Yeah, they were so much fun. Can you believe when that thing happened? And
it was
great.
That was amazing.
It was crazy. I'll see it all in the video.
My,
so
my replacement liver.
Really, I couldn't believe Adam Beecham stabbed the hobo.
I'm telling you, Adam
Beecham. Oh, it's gonna be a good time.
We're gonna have a good time.
So, all right. Well, before we end up, we just got to do some business. So this episode is brought to you by Comicall.com, which when you're not in San Francisco and shopping at Isotope, if you want to go online and go to Comicall, you can find the best comics there.
40% off all the trades from all the major companies,
new
books.
And the shipping's really good. They ship them up nicely and neatly and packed for you.
They also do subscriptions for new books.
Yeah. So it's a good. Definitely go to Comicall.com. Tell them iFanboy sent you.
From their hole to your home.
Yes, that's their phrase. Isn't that a great catchphrase?
They've got a nice website.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're good folks. So cool. So Comicall. So yeah, like we said, we didn't have any emails or voicemails this week other than Josh's voicemail. But normally, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com,
or you can call us at 1-800. Not 1-800.
You got it wrong now.
That's gay porn. 1-888 fanboys, which is 326-2697. 1-888 fanboys.
And you can go to myspace.com and you can be our friend at myspace.com/ifanboy, and we're friends with James and Isotope, and you can be friends with Isotope
or comicspace.com/ifanboy. Also be our friend there.
Yes, and you can also go to dig.com or iTunes or Podcast Alley or Podcast Pickle and vote for us and do whatever the interactive things and say that you like the podcast, because we like when you do that.
And if you want, you can send us a donation at ifanboy.com/donations, or go to the main page, click on the front little box there, and
help pay for the debauchery.
Not the debauchery.
No, the plane tickets.
Or if you want to buy some Sandman books and
send them to Ron.
Yeah, exactly.
Ron's got a lot of reading ahead of him. So
nobody really resonated from last week from the challenge. Nobody was really like, you've got to read
because they're waiting for you to screw up.
Yeah, no, I tripped up, didn't I? Damn it. Anyway, so all right. So thanks for listening this week, and pray that we get through the weekend. So. Until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And James. All right.